4Radio.com.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. TobeAccountable.com, practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packed her bags to try her hand, says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her roots. She's gone country, a new kind of suit. She's gone country.
Good evening and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I am here with some folks this evening, and we're going to have a great, great time this hour. If you are just tuning in, there's two ways you can call in. You can either join us. You can either call in 347-857-3760, or you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/4radio. And you can get a free Blog Talk account radio there, or account there, and you can interact with us there, or you can just listen from your smartphone or from your laptop or from your tablet, whichever way you are wanting to join us tonight. So sit back and grab your coffee. We're really excited. She's Gone Country with Becky is here to elevate and empower everyday cowboys and cowgirls, to inspire those that don't, and hope that they will help us in bridging the gap and keeping the heart of American cowboy alive. With us tonight, we have my co-host, Vicki Christensen. Are you here, Vicki?
I am here, Becky. What an exciting evening this is going to be.
Oh, I am so excited, and I'm just trying to breathe. It's been a hectic day up here in Spokane. We're getting doused with snow. I know other parts of the country got it the last couple of weeks, but it has finally hit home. We're really well beneath the snow level, so it's very much welcome. But, boy, I tell you, it puts a kink in your giddy up when you're trying to stay on task and on schedule. So, nonetheless, we are here, and we are going live. And we also have tonight one of my guest co-hosts who has popped on, and I know he's listening. I don't know if he's pushed one. So if you're listening, push one so you can come into the host seat. But we have Cody Custer on the line with us. Cody, are you there? He may be pushing one, trying to get into the queue. tonight, I'm really, really excited about the guest that we have coming to visit with us. He is an amazing, amazing, talented cowboy. He has been in retirement and is coming out of it. He has won the PBR two times, and he is also the first professional bull rider to ever earn more than $5 million in the course of his career. So we are so excited to welcome to our show Justin McBride. Justin, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us. I think Cody has hopped on. Cody, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm on. How y'all doing tonight?
Awesome.
Doing great, Cody.
I just want to make sure everybody is on the phone, and I am going to actually at this point just turn the interview over to Justin. Justin, we have listeners that tune in from all over the United States as well as the world. Being a Blog Talk Internet Radio, we have listeners that can log on anytime, anywhere, and download our interview via archive. So if you would be so kind, would you share a little bit about yourself with our listeners, maybe a little bit about your upbringing and where you're from and all that good stuff to fill our listeners in?
Oh, it's a pretty boring story, really. I was actually born in Texas, and my family and I, my mom and dad, and I have one older brother. We moved to Nebraska when I was about 8 years old, and grew up. We worked on a ranch outside of a little bitty town called Mullen, Nebraska, and that's where I pretty much grew up, was right there. Grew up on a ranch and going to junior rodeos and stuff, and that was rodeoing was kind of the event, kind of the sport that I took to at a pretty young age. Is what I had the most interest in. As I got older, I competed in other sports, but rodeoing was always the one that I had the most fun doing. And so then as I got a little older and a little more serious about it, I went on and rodeoed in college for 1 year. I'd like to tell everybody it's because I was so smart and I graduated in a year, but that wasn't the case. I went to college in Las Vegas at UNLV with Ross Coleman, and Cody Jesse was on our rodeo team then, and a lot of really good cowboys and cowgirls on that college team. And let's see. And when I left college, I joined the PBR and made the finals in 1999, my rookie year, and had moved to Oklahoma then, and started buying a little ground up down around Elk City, Oklahoma area. And my mom and dad are still down there now, and I've got a little place outside of Sayre down there where they live. And I'm in Nebraska now where it's cold, and kind of back where I started, back up here in Nebraska. And I rode bulls there till 2008 when I retired from bull riding. And now I do some of the TV commentary for the PBR, and I play a little music when I got some free time. I play some music, and I got two little kids, so that's a full-time job right there, keeping up with those two. And that's pretty much it.
Well, now, Justin, how old are your kiddos?
Our little boy is 3 years old, going to be four the end of May, and our little girl is 7 years old, and she's about to turn eight the end of March.
That will keep you busy.
Gets busier every day with them. They're at a really fun age. Every age has been fun with them, but it seems like every year it just gets funner with them.
Well, I had to ask when I hear about these young ones. mutton busting. Have they signed up yet? Have they got Dad busy back there behind the chutes helping them?
Well, that's something I avoided with my little girl, and now she's about as tall as me, so I think I'm out of the woods with her on the mutton busting. But our little boy, we're going to Dallas next weekend, or Arlington, and he heard about the mutton busting there, and he's never done it before, and he's pretty for sure that he's going to get on a sheep in Arlington. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, wow, something great to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that he gets on. I don't know. I'm probably going to hold on to him if he does decide to get on one. He's not very big, and he might not be scared, but I'm kind of scared for him.
Little sense. Dad is the one that's run alongside of him, Justin, and don't let go.
Yeah, I'm not going to let go. I don't know. We might both end up on the ground. I don't know if I can keep up with a sheep if he goes very fast.
Well, now, Justin, this is Becky. And now I've got a question. And we're just kind of, building here. And I'm just curious. You mentioned that you went to UNLV. And you mentioned
mm-hmm.
that you went to school about the time Ross Coleman went to school. Did you know Brett and Jesse when you were in college down there? Because I know they were on the rodeo team down there at UNLV. But I think they might have been a few years ahead of you because they're kind of old.
Yeah, they would have been Jesse. Let's see, I'm trying to think who all was the same year. Ross and I were there like 97, 98 was the year we were there. I'm trying to think. Our rough stock team consisted of Cody Jesse, a boy named Matt Ballard that rode saddle bronc horses from Utah, and let's see who all else was on that team. Man, it's been a long time ago now for me.
Right. I know, it's crazy when you say the years. I'm going, holy cow, where's the time gone?
Yeah, I know it. I know it. It doesn't really seem that long ago. But then when I go to trying to think about it, it was a long time ago. But it was really neat though to see, like, because I remember Cody Jesse. I remember him clear from the high school finals is when I first met Cody Jesse, and he was a really good bull rider in high school. And when we got to college, he had already been at college a year ahead of me and Ross, and he had started riding bareback horses, and he wasn't really that good at it yet, but you could see he had all the fundamentals were there. It was going to come if he would stick with it, and well, he stuck with it in a big way, ended up making the NFR, winning the average at the NFR, ended up being a really good bareback rider, and never really got his bull rope out again.
Oh, it's so funny. Now, so that leads me to my next question. When you went to college, you joined the CDR in 99, I believe is what you said. And I know
mm-hmm.
that when I talked to you prior, and a lot that's going on with the American, which I kind of want to get into a little bit, is bareback riding. Not everybody
right.
knows you were a bareback rider. I didn't know that. I've known you for your bull riding. But as I was, doing some research and reading some articles and stuff, the bareback came up, and that's what you started to qualify on. So you did that before bull riding or in conjunction with your bull riding?
Yeah, I did it in conjunction. I started getting on bareback horses when I was about 11 years old. And I always had more success growing up in the bareback riding. I don't think it was because I was that great a bareback rider. There wasn't very many people that were very good at it, to be honest. And I think that's the way it's always been in bareback riding. It's such a hard event physically. It's so hard on you that not a lot of guys do it, and not a lot of them last very long doing it. So I always did it and rode bulls, and I roped and stuff too growing up, and I got on a few saddle broncs. My older brother was a saddle bronc rider. I got on a few saddle broncs at certain rodeos that would give saddles for the all-around. I would enter the bronc riding also, but always one more in the bareback riding. There were always a ton of good bull riders around, really no matter where you went. There were always seemed like 70 bull riders entered at every amateur rodeo or high school rodeo, and there would only be 15 or 20 bareback riders. So I had some success in the bareback riding, but it was something I quit doing. When I left college, I quit riding bareback horses, and when I got on the PBR tour, I didn't ride bareback horses anymore. So when the American came along, and they were going to have these qualifiers and stuff for it. I thought that would be a good idea to go get on bareback horses, and I don't know what I was thinking, why I thought that was a good idea. but it was a lot of fun. I was glad I went and got on some of them, but it was also really good because I knew why I didn't keep riding bareback horses and why I went with the bull riding.
Now, this is Becky. Cody, I got to ask you, what do you think? You've obviously known Justin for some time. What do you think, bareback, bull riding?
Oh, of course, bull riding. But, you know, when I first saw Justin, I was judging a college rodeo at probably Douglas, Arizona, or somewhere down there, probably in 98 or 99. I think it's probably the fall of 98, actually. And I saw him and Ross both ride. I thought they were bareback riders before bull riders, really, but both of them really talented bareback riders. And on the flip side of that, Cody Jesse looked like the bull rider to me and not the bareback rider. So it just goes to show that, you know, like Justin Ross both probably, if the PBR hadn't come along, they probably would have stuck with the horse riding as well as the bull riding and had great careers at the professional level, I would guess. I mean, I don't know that they'd have kept on with it, but they sure had the talent to do it. So, but anyway, I saw Justin get on a bareback horse a couple years ago over here, had a little deal, and
I forgot about that.
I was cheering loud for him.
That was I opened my mouth. There was a little rodeo by where Cody and I live, and there, I went into town one night. Me and my buddy were going to go and enter the team roping. Well, when we got there, they didn't have any bareback riders. They didn't have anybody in the calf roping. And I thought that was just terrible. I thought people should show up and enter up in all the events. And so my buddy kind of said, well, if you think people should enter in everything, why don't you enter in them? So the next day I had to get on a bareback horse and enter the calf roping.
And he handled it real well.
Well,
I don't know how well I handled it, but I survived it anyway.
Well, at least this is Vicki, Justin. It sounds like, you know, you were going for the all-around title, and I know, Cody, you were rooting him on for sure.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it was pretty good watching.
Well, that's the thing. Well, and I'm sure it's the same way for Cody, but that's why I started riding bulls in the first place and stuff. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be a world champion bull rider, But I like doing everything. I like to rope. I still like to rope. I like riding bucking horses. I liked everything to do with that lifestyle and being a cowboy.
Well, you know, and this is Becky. And the one thing I got to tell you I've noticed, too, and like you said, Justin, I agree with you. I'm used to everybody showing up at the rodeo and entering it up in everything. So I've seen a real shift in the years past where it has really kind of gone to the all-arounds, just the mix of the ropers. I mean, there's not a lot of, and I could be wrong, but of course I go back to, you know, the time Murray's where he was roping and bull riding and for the all-around. Now it seems it's just the ropers. So, and I know in producing Spokane, there were several years there where, man, we were trying to spread out four bareback riders in a whole purse. Two perfs, just trying to make it look like we had some bareback riders. I remember one day here we had to open with calf ropers.
Yeah, and that's a tough event. I've really seen a decline in the number of bareback riders. Just, you know, from a professional level on down to an amateur level, just doesn't seem. It seems like, you know, 15 years ago there were a lot more guys that entered the bareback riding. But maybe that was because of where I was living at in Nebraska. There was a lot of bareback riders and a lot of saddle bronc riders. You're kind of in the Dakotas right there close, and there's always a lot of good horse riders come out of that country, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, Justin, we're going to dive right into this big adventure you're on this next week to the Americans. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
4radio.com.
Since 1997, Tresrio Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tresrio Silver, Llano, Texas. Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky, and this is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips. And joining me tonight are my co-host, Becky Christensen, and my guest co-host, Cody Custer. And we have been spending the last 20 minutes or so visiting with our special guest, two-time PBR world champion, exempt invite to the American, country singer, bareback rider, family man. He does a little bit of everything. We're welcoming Justin McBride to the show, and we are just really thankful that he's here tonight. And we were just talking a little bit about his background and where he's been and what he's been doing the last few years. And he's been busy raising two kiddos, and I believe it was 2008 he said he retired from the PBR. And along with that, you know, he's won, like I said, two World PBR championships. He's the first cowboy to ever reach the $5 million mark in the course of his career. And he has a plethora, very substantial marks or, you know, awards that he's won over the course of his career from 2000 and 2001, just crazy career. And he stepped down in 2008. And now this American comes up, the World's Richest One-Day Rodeo, and it's set to gear up this weekend. And he was given an exempt status and asked to come compete in the bull riding. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Justin. I'd like, if you would, please tell us how this all came about for you to really just decide, you know what, I'm coming out of retirement for the weekend and I'm gonna get on some bulls and I'm gonna win some money. How's that all come about?
Well, I like the way you sum it up right there, because that's a good way to look at it. I'm gonna come out of retirement for one weekend and win some money. That is the plan. But it's easier said than done. No, the American came about. Last year I was on a plane with Randy Bernard, the former CEO of the PBR, and I was flying to Nashville. He had taken a job with RFD, being their CEO now. And I was flying out there to do they were going to start airing these shows called PBR 2020 every Wednesday night. And it's just a look back over it was the 20th anniversary of the PBR, and they were looking back over the past 20 years at some of the standout events that had taken place. And the first show, I was going to go out there and kind of co-host with Cody Lambert, and I think it was Nashville that they aired, Nashville 1994, I think. We sat and watched and talked about the event. And anyway, on the plane ride out to do that, Randy Bernard started telling me about this idea he had about the American, this event. They didn't even have a name for it at the time. It was just an idea he had for a rodeo. And he was talking about how he was wanting to try and put it together with these qualifiers and then having some exemptions and these different angles. And I told him, I said, well, if you do something like that and have some qualifiers, I'm going to enter the bareback riding at one of them. And that's really as far as it went. I thought that if he ever did get it put together, that that would be a fun opportunity to maybe get on another bareback horse or two. And I really didn't give it any more thought. And then a few months later, he called me to come to a press conference about it at Texas Stadium, or AT&T Stadium now, I guess, but in Dallas, in Arlington. And it was going to happen. It was going to be called the American. And they were going to have these qualifiers for each event across the country, have a semifinals in Mesquite, which has just finished up yesterday. They just finished the semifinals, and so now they know every person that will be competing. They were going to have exemptions in certain events. The top 10 in the world from the NFR was going to be qualified for it automatically. And then, except for the bull riding, the top 10 guys in the world from the PBR finals would be qualified for it. And so I flew down and did the press conference, and we were all going to Nashville that afternoon. And we were on RFD's plane hitching a ride to Nashville to do TV at the bull riding there that night. And me and Cody Lambert was talking about it, and I said, I'm gonna enter some of those qualifiers in the bareback riding. He said, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. That'll be fun. He said, I don't know why you wouldn't enter the bull riding, too, though, for $1 million. I said, you know, I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. It is $1 million for one day. I don't know why I wouldn't do an event that I know a little more. I'm a little more tested in to try and win that amount of money. So I decided on that plane ride that I was going to enter a qualifier in the bull riding also and try and qualify in the bull riding. And Randy Bernard informed me that I probably wouldn't be riding at any qualifiers in the bull riding. He said, that's fine if I wanted to do it in the bareback riding, but the bull riding, I had to just come straight to the American, to the event at Cowboy Stadium on March the 2nd. So that's really how it all came about.
Well, Justin, this is Vicki, and, you know, to mentally prepare, I mean, you know, for, you know, you've been in retirement and making a comeback, and have you been getting on any, or are you just going to, what's happening there? What has been your game plan?
I got on one bull about, I don't know, a month or so ago in Guthrie, Oklahoma. I got on one bull one morning, and he bucked me off. And that's the first bull I've been on since 2008, and that's the last bull I'll get on till Sunday.
Really?
I've been getting ready for it ever since I decided to do it. My wife called. I was driving to Thackerville, Oklahoma last August to do TV, and my wife called me, and it's about an eight-hour drive from my house up here in Nebraska down to there. I was about 6 hours into it, and she called and said, what have you been doing all this time driving by yourself? I said, I've been winning. And because for me, when you compete at something, you don't just think about it the day you get there or the day you go to the practice pen. For me, you think about it pretty much every second of every day, or that's the way I've always done it. And so I've been on about 10,000 bulls in my mind, but I've only been on one, really.
Well, I, you know, definitely you're ready. If you've been on that many in your mind, you've been there, done that. Tell me, what has went through your mind? Did you ever think about the American?
Were you talking to me?
I am talking to you, Cody.
Me? When that whole deal started, and I knew that they were, you know, it came about, and I knew they were going to have some exemptions. The first guy I thought of was Justin. He's probably the only guy that's a retired bull rider that really had was still at a place in his, you know, physically able to go ahead and do something like that. And so it didn't surprise me when the news came. He knew long before it got announced or anything like that, because I popped off to him a few times about it, and he just kind of laughed at me and blew me off. Didn't think too much. You know, he didn't give me too much, but he's the guy that, you know, if you're going to pick a guy that's got the best chance, and I did a bull riding school with Ross Coleman this weekend, and we got talking about Justin, and we're not going to bet against him for dag, I'm sure.
That's probably a good bet.
My money's on Justin, really. I mean, that's, you know, just the mentality that he has and he always had when he was riding. he's going to get there and he's going to have his competition mode going. And, you know, like I kind of popped off when that bull bucked him off at Guthrie and said, hey, I got some little easy ones at the house. He said it's no different than it used to be. He said, it's, you know, it's just the same as it always was. And so I reckon when he's crawling off in there Sunday afternoon, he's going to be in his competition mode. And like he said, he's ridden 10,000 of them in his brain since he decided to do it. So anyway, my money's on Justin McBride to be the champ over there. That'd just be really good. That'd make me feel good.
Well, there's a lot of people rooting for him. And, in fact, I know that, Becky, we have some callers. And if you are waiting, press 1. So you go into the host queue, and then we'll be able to pick you up live if you have questions for Justin or Cody. So just a reminder there.
Now, Justin, this is Becky. Now tell me, because I'm looking on the American results page right now, and they have some other bull riders that are on here, and what I'm noticing, and we're going to shift gears, and we'll go back and forth. But you have, in one of your endeavors, I mean, like I said, you're a man of many talents, and I think most of us rodeo folks have the ability to multitask and do several things. That's one of the benefits of, I think, having that work ethic. But you have been working with some of your fellow bull riders that you're going to be competing against with. Along with them, that competing, you also are, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you are part owner in what is called ProBullFantasy.com. And tell us a little bit about that, because I'm looking, like, I believe it's J.B. Mooney, if I'm pronouncing his name right, Mooney, that is working on that project with you.
Yeah, there's a few guys. It's just a fun deal, and it's just a way for fans to, you know, just to have a little bit more fun with bull riding and to test their knowledge at it. It's just a fantasy game like any other, like fantasy football or anything. They pick their players each week. They get to pick 7 bull riders and 3 bulls, and they kind of get to try and test their knowledge of the sport and compete against each other, compete against the other fans, and see who's got the hot hand that week and who can pick the winning team. And they've got it. Actually, Orlando Luke, he takes care of everything for us. There's a few of us bull riders that do it, but old Luke, he really does all the work with it. We just try and help promote it a little bit and get the word out to people so that they can get in there and play it. But it's set up where they can pay like $25 for their team, and they pay for one team and they get another one for free. And there's a guaranteed payout of $3,000 every weekend. So it's just a fun way for our fans, because we do really I know every sport says this about their fans, but Cody can back me up. The PBR has the most loyal, diehard fans in the world. They are really good fans, and it's just a way for them to get even more involved like I said, test their knowledge and their skill every weekend at picking the best guys and bulls.
Well, this is Vicki, Justin, and a question. Where did this concept come from? Was it Luke Sullivan that kind of beamed this up, and then everybody jumped on board and put in their ideas?
Yeah, it was a deal where Luke and Mike White came up with this idea, and they came to me last year about it, wanting to know what I thought about it and if I thought any other guys would be interested in doing something like it. JW Hart, he loves to get on social media and ruffle people's feathers. So I said he'd be a great guy to promote it. And so JW is involved in it, and a few other guys. But Luke and Mike White, they're the masterminds behind it. As scary as that sounds, Mike White being the mastermind of anything.
Well, this is Becky, and the one thing, too, Justin, that I was noticing, I mean, really, it's a great idea. I know if you look at the fantasy football teams that are out there, I need to tell you, that thing has grown in leaps and bounds. I've got people at work that haven't watched football in years, but, boy, they were sure loyal when they were doing they had picked their teams for fantasy football. So I can see where, one, you got
yeah,
really
that,
loyal
and that's
followers.
It. You know, I play a little fantasy football myself. I'm guilty of it. And, man, I'll be watching games that I usually don't care anything about, and I'll be cheering on a certain guy, so hoping he does good for my team. And it's the same way with this bull riding. It just gives them, like I said, it just gives them another vein, another something there to root for, and hopefully just get them more involved in the sport.
Well, and what I love about it, too, is I'm on the website, and for the listeners, it's www.probullfantasy.com. And if you go to the website, they have a Facebook page, so make sure you go on, like their Facebook page. Definitely got to follow them. Got to follow Justin. Keep up on all things going on with the American. But when you go to the probullfantasy.com page itself, they have a gallery, and it has all the winners. And, you know, they've even partnered up with our beautiful and lovely sponsors, Trace Rios, and they give away beautiful buckles. Now, is the buckle go with the money each week with the chance?
Yeah,
$3,000?
That is one really – that's a really – I'm glad you brought that up. That's a really cool thing about it. They give an awesome buckle. Luke had these buckles made up for every event. And so every weekend they give, like I said, you can go to the website and check it out, but they give one of those buckles and a total of a $3,000 payout every weekend. That's every event. So it's a cool deal for them. You know, I know the people that have won so far this season, they've liked getting their check in the mail, but they have been pumped up when that buckle showed up.
Well, and I think it's great, too, is if you go through the gallery as well, it's not just men, and I don't mean any, you know, thing about that or say anything about that, but there's just as many women playing this as there are men, and I think that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, big time. And I guarantee you, when they go through there picking their teams, there are some very knowledgeable people of the Bulls these days. We have a lot of fans of the Bulls. I mean, everybody likes to see the guys do good and everything, but I guarantee you Bushwhacker has quite a following at this point.
Well, I think that's awesome. So everyone who's out there listening, again, be sure to check out probullfantasy.com. And if you don't have them, I was telling Grant that time, I could get a couple of these teams going. Because we watch all the events, so I don't know why we don't have a team. Heck, you know, you never know.
Yeah, that's right.
But can you win more than once?
Yeah, you can buy up to four teams per event.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And then you post the event results, and there's the payout, and even list all the events. I mean, it's like you're just going to go bull ride yourself. Look at that.
Yeah, just go to that website, probullfantasy.com, and it'll sign you up. It does the whole thing. I've just got on it right now, and it walks you through. I could even sign up on this thing, and I'm pretty computer illiterate.
Well, you got a team going on yet?
What's that?
I was asking Cody if he's gotten on here and hopped on and gotten a team yet.
I have not. My boy Brett and I talked about it, and we seem to always miss the deadline. So one of these weeks we'll get there ahead of time.
I think the entry's open every on Wednesday. And that's another part of it. Like, you got to pay attention during the week. And because, like, last weekend, I know J.B. Mooney's always a real hot guy, you know, on the fantasy team to pick. And last weekend he was out with an injury, but now he's back. He was back at Kansas City, and he'll be back in Dallas. So you got to keep up on who's injured and this and that. And it's a whole deal to keep up with there.
There's a lot of people that keep up on it better than I do. I just catch it when I can. My boy pays a lot more attention than I do about it.
Well, Cody, this is Vicki. You never missed entering a rodeo before, did you?
No, but it depend that my livelihood depended on me not missing the books on anything. I don't think.
Hey, and you didn't have
I don't know that I could pick. There's some 80-year-old women that are fans of the PBR that are a lot more knowledgeable about the Bulls and what guys to pick than I am. So,
what a great way for the fans to feel like they're really part of the whole PBR scene. It's a probullfantasy.com is an awesome way for the fans to participate.
Well, we've been visiting with Justin McBride here on Tucson Country Effective this evening, and it's just been fun. We're about 20 minutes left in the show, and we're going to take a quick commercial break. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll continue on with Justin McBride.
ForRadio.com.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and we are very happy to have with us tonight Justin McBride. We've been spending the last 45 minutes or so just visiting with him, seeing what he's been up to and what this, coming out of retirement for the American looks like. And, you know, She's Gone Country is just all about elevating and empowering everyday cowboys and cowgirls who love God, who love country, who love living the Western way of life, to help inspire and educate those who don't. So the hope is that we can continue to bridge the gap with all the technology and all the advancements in today's society, that we can bridge that gap and really, really hone in and keep the heart of the American cowboy alive. And I really think that Justin is a complete all-around cowboy that emulates everything that She's Gone Country with Becky is about. He grew up in rodeo. He's lived a life from childhood till now, and he's diversified himself, and, you know, he's raising a family, and I'm just really excited to have him on the show. So, Justin, thank you so much for being with us tonight. I'm completely honored that you've been able to take the time and to join us tonight. I know you've got a lot of things on your plate. I know you're a very busy person, so we do appreciate you, so thank you.
Oh, no, thank you all for having me on. And geez, checks in the mail. Thanks for all those nice things you're saying. I appreciate it, and I tell you, it's folks like y'all that do these kind of things that get the word out to people that give people a chance to follow what's going on in the sport and in the cowboy lifestyle. So appreciate you guys doing it.
Well, I have to tell you, I really appreciate you retweeting my tweets, because I am not good at this whole Twitter thing. In fact, I think I used to call
you. Oh, I'm not either.
I'm not either.
My wife has to do the Facebook stuff for me. I know I'm pretty good at retweeting. I find that button. You just retweet. I can do that pretty good. I'd like to see Cody send a tweet.
No, not a clue.
Oh, if you could have seen this, if you could have seen Cody, Vicky, Donalyn, and I down at Cowboy Christmas recording our show over that, that was a hoot. I don't want to call us old timers, but we're no young spring chickens trying to figure out all this technology. It was entertaining, but I'm trying to educate Aunt Vicki and all of us, and Maria helps us a lot, our producer. I don't know what we'd do without Maria, but, you know, tweeting, I appreciate it, because I keep asking myself, how do I get followers, Brandon? He says, Mom, you're too old. Adults don't tweet. I started laughing, like, oh, my gosh. I said, yes, they do. Look at all these, and I'm scrolling through it, showing them all the people I'm following. He's like, oh, my goodness. So,
this is Vicky. I just have one word to say, and that's Pecos. Will you come help Grammy, please?
Yeah, that's about right.
So, Justin, I want to talk a little bit about, I want to jump back to The American for a minute. I was reading an article, and let's see, it's from USA Today, back from October. And it was just an article about, you know, you coming into The American. And the one thing and I was reading the article that kind of caught my attention is that, you know, you'd shared with us earlier that you were going to do it, and you were going to do it for bareback riding, and you were going to try and qualify for bareback riding. And then, you know, Randy offered the bull riding spot. And you thought, oh, well, sure, I'll come out of retirement for a weekend and ride bulls, but I'm not going to, you know, come out and make a chase at a title for it. And to me, you're just still a spring chicken because you're, like, younger than my brother, I think, or right about the same age. So retirement. You retired in 2008, so, you know, 6 years ago. You are still, I would venture to say, in your 20s when you retired.
Yeah.
And technically, you probably still could make a good run for titles. You're still in pretty prime shape for your age, I'm sure. What made you want, what makes you, I guess the question I'm trying to ask you is, what is the deciding factor in why you're only going to do this for a weekend and not anything further than that?
You know, that's a good question. How much longer do we have? because,
you got about 10 minutes.
You know, I'm kind of a weirdo, I guess, anyway, but, like, I never, I was done with bull riding when I quit. Not that I didn't still love to ride bulls, because I did, and when I quit riding, I was riding probably better than I ever had. I'd really reached a point where I felt like I could ride every bull when I got there. And that wasn't always the case. I still got bucked off my fair share, but I really felt like I could ride any bull there was. And I quit, because it wasn't the only thing I cared about anymore. And for 28, 29 years, however long it was until I retired, that was all I cared about. It really was. And I led a very selfish life because it was geared strictly toward riding bulls. And that's all I thought about. That's all I cared about. That's all I wanted to do. And I got to a point in my life where that wasn't all I cared about anymore. And so I said, you know, it's probably a pretty good time to walk away from it. I can do it better than I ever could. I was so fortunate, though. See, there's so much that goes into this. I was so lucky to get to come along when I did. There's been a ton of bull riders, every bit as good, and probably a lot of them better than I was, but they didn't have the opportunities that I had. And so I was able to quit financially when I was 28 or 9 years old, however old I was. I was able to quit because I'd made enough money that I could, and I had some other opportunities. I could go to the TV booth and continue to earn a living. I had so many other things I could go do. I was able to pay for a ranch while I was riding. And so I had a lot of things where I didn't have to keep doing it. And so I purely got to do it out of the love to do it. You know, I never had to continue on doing it, you know, because I've seen guys that had to keep trying to do it to make their living when they couldn't anymore, and that's tough. And then I've seen guys that the sport defined who they were, and they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are without being that world champion bull rider. And I didn't ever want to be that guy. I was a guy that was really lucky to come along when I did and got to have a really good run, get on nothing but great bulls for 10 years solid, for a lot of money. And so I quit. I was happy to quit doing it. That's not to say that I didn't still love to do it, but I just had other things that I also loved. And so I was really young, and I'm pretty old now, I guess, for a bull rider. I'm 34.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, bull riding's a young man's sport for lots of reasons, because if you're going to do it and have any kind of success, much less what Justin did, That's all you have to have on your mind. And, you know, when you start building a family and having places and stuff like that, that takes away from your concentration, your focus level to be the best you can be at riding bulls. And Justin quit at, you know, and we talked, the conversation's been that he probably left a couple of titles on the table by walking away when he did, but he never looked back and happy with who he is, and it didn't have to do with I don't think success was who made Justin who he is. You know, he's just who he is, and so that he could walk away from it and not have to feel like he had anything to prove or had to try to keep stepping up. He did what he did, and then when the day, you know, I asked him about it one time, he's just like, the edge isn't there like it, something to this, you know, something like this, the edge was gone, and he quit, much like Ty Murray, you know, which is two things I really, you know, that's something I really admire about both of those guys is they quit when they realized that they didn't have that certain edge that made them as great as they were, they quit. I went a little bit past my prime. I was 38 when I quit riding, so wish I could have, you know, I wish I would have had the, you know, the insight like those guys, you know, how they did it, which I can't regret how I did it, but everybody's got to do it their way. But the way Justin did it, he walked away, and he's good with who he is and not even looking back. I hope he goes and wins that deal down there at Dallas that Sunday. That'll kind of be the icing on the cake.
I hope you're right. But, you know, and I think Cody nailed it right there, is it is different for everybody. You know, I know some guys, you know, Adriano Moraes is one of the best bull riders ever, and he would still do it today if he could, you know, but he can't. He's too old. He's you know, he just can't, and you just can't do it forever. It's not a sport that you can do. It's like a lot of things. You know, it's a short window to get to do it, and that's why, and this is going to lead into something I want to ask Cody about. That's why when you see young guys show up with ability and things, and they just don't take advantage of these opportunities that are there now, it's tough to watch. And I know it's really tough for guys like Cody, who's one of the founders of the PBR. And Cody, though, I'm glad to see you out doing those schools now. I think that's a really good thing. And it sounds like this last one went pretty good from what Ross said.
Yeah, it was great. It's the best school I've ever had. I almost don't want to ever do one again without Ross. That guy, he's awesome. He's great with them kids. Yeah.
He is a good guy, man. That is something that was another thing that I was so fortunate to have was him, was to meet him in high school and get to have him around my whole career, because you cannot have a bad day around him.
Yeah, he makes people better. I've known that since he was a kid, and he's never been any different. He's always been the same. Never heard him say, you know, bad things about anybody. He just makes people better being around him, and so, you know, back to the conversation of these young guys coming in, I see a lot of guys that get to the PBR and they're not, you know, like your career, you and Ross both, you guys came in as young men and you kind of, your whole career was PBR. I think there's a few guys that can do that, but there's a limited amount of guys that can do that. And a lot of those guys, I think, need to go mature a little bit and physically, mentally, and in their riding, they need to gain some more experience before they come to the PBR, because it's a grueling thing, and a lot of those young guys show up and get their, you know, they come on like a house fire, and then they get their butts kicked for a little while, and then you never see them again. And that's, to me, I don't like seeing that, because I think one advantage the Brazilians have is they're all a little bit older when they get here, a little more mature physically, mentally, and they're ready. They came, you know, they got here, they got a mission by coming here to get out of poverty, and I don't think there's any Americans that have that mentality, because they don't know what poverty is, you know. So I always tell kids, go rodeo for a couple of years and learn how to win, learn how to ride, and grow up a little bit, and that's always my advice. That would, you know, probably been my advice to a young Justin McBride, and it didn't, that wasn't the way he needed to do it. But there's a lot of kids that think they can just come in and have instant success and stay there, and you just, you got to have some maturity, and there's a very select few guys that can come in and, you know, come straight out of college and come compete, you know, and...
Well, you're right, Cody, because when I left, I went to college because I was only 17 when I graduated high school, and I thought when I was 15 I was ready. I watched because the PBRs were – I was getting to see them some back then. They were starting to air on TNN, and I would get to watch them. But it was a rude awakening for me when I left college because I didn't have any money, and I left college, and I had enough to go enter, you know, for one or two term pros, and – it didn't pan out. It didn't pan out, and I went to work in a gravel pit in Fort Collins, Colorado for a winter and a spring, and that gave me a lot more motivation. So when I did get my chance, you know, I was able to win some, but even at that, you know, it took a few years. It took a few years of being used to being in the locker room with somebody like you. With Clint Bronger was still around then. Michael Gaffney, Ty, all these guys, and
yeah, it sure takes.
They're grown men, and they show up to win every weekend. They're all buddies, and everything's good, but they show up to win every weekend. And it took me a few years to get where I could hang with that level of competition.
Well, you know, Justin, I have to tell you, I had Ted Noose on a couple weeks ago at the beginning of February, and you said something that struck me because it was almost. Word for word what he said when he knew he was ready to close or to finish and be done with bull riding. And he said for the longest time it was that is the only thing he cared about. He had that drive and that passion was the only thing he cared about, and that he was in that selfish place. And it was when he came out of that, matured, and said, okay, I'm done. And that's when he knew it was time to retire and step down. So I really appreciate that. I see a theme within all of you cowboys and all of you bull riders that I know and care about and have followed, and that's that you guys know there's a reckoning, and you know when it's time to move on, and it's time to move on to different things. But you leave a legacy, you leave a trail behind you, and you blaze a trail for those that come up that are coming up the road behind you, and I really appreciate that. And I know the hour's short. I've got 30 seconds until we got to close out, so I'm going to let Aunt Vicki wrap things up for us. I appreciate you, Justin. I appreciate you coming on, Cody, tonight, and thank you so much. Aunt Vicki, what do you got to say before we wrap up?
I just want to say, Justin, so happy to have you. Thank you very much, Cody. Always happy when you can join us. And all of you listeners out there, we appreciate you so much. God bless. We're going to close out the show with a little cowgirl logic from Crystal Lyons. Good night, everyone.
The other day, I was in our local grocery store, and a little boy wanted his mama to buy him something because a favorite cartoon character was on the box. Well, it was obvious that the woman didn't have the money to get everything she needed, much less Johnny's item, and she said no and tried to go on about her business. But he wasn't giving up. He started begging, and when that didn't give him the desired result, little Johnny began doing the fit-throwing thing. Well, I was inwardly hoping that she would put her foot down and take control instead of allowing the kid to rule the roost. But nope, she gave in and bought what he wanted, and in such she rewarded Johnny for his unacceptable behavior, reinforcing his belief that if he gets loud enough and angry enough and obnoxious enough, he will always get what he wants in life. What a wonderful man he'll turn out to be. We in America seem to think that without any discipline whatsoever, we can become what we want to be. Our children will all turn out wonderful, and our nation will always be strong. Not. Discipline has gotten such an ugly name in our society that we equate it with a lack of love. Leave discipline out, and sooner or later, whatever it is, it erodes into total chaos and disorder, whether it's a home, church, school, a business, or a nation. Without discipline, the quality of life quickly deteriorates. We in America have gotten consumed with protecting the rights and the feelings of the lawless and unruly to the point that it's insane. Discipline. Do we have the guts for it? For the sake of freedom and future generations, we had better embrace it again in our society, our homes, schools, and our churches, or I can promise it will certainly get uglier. This is Crystal Lyons, and you're listening to Cowgirl Logic.
Since 1997, Tresrio Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tresrio Silver, Llano, Texas. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. TobeAccountable.com, practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, everybody. This is Becky Ryan talking to you live, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Maria DiGiovanni. How are you, Maria, out in California?
I am doing okay. How are you tonight?
Exhausted. It's only Monday.
Why are you exhausted? You can't be exhausted.
I've been working and I've been running all over the place, standing on my feet. So
yeah.
It's been fun, but I'm happy to be doing it. I've been also looking all over the news, and right now it seems like it's going crazy. I don't know if you are aware of, but they had done a test and it was released this week on stress in America. And it's not... You know, we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder in the past. We've had a series on it. We've talked about police officers, military stress on people. Post-traumatic stress disorder can affect everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's the highest group, and it's an age group, with stress right now?
Who?
Just guess. Teens. They've outdone and surpassed the adults.
Isn't that interesting?
And they said... Yeah, the pressure on the kids in America, they said, is the highest it's ever been. I'm wondering, where could this be coming from?
Hmm.
When we were younger, you know, we had to go outside and play and come up with our own stuff. But when it comes down to the teens today, they don't have the ability nor the luxury of just going out and playing. Coming up with their own toys, everything is organized, and if it's not going their way, it seems like it's all against them. Worried about school, worried about college. Their entire future is held at their teenage years. And then just dealing with being a teenager, the hormones. I don't know. Say that again?
Hormones is a normal thing, yes?
Yeah, but I'm like, wait, and then to add the hormones. They're talking about the school size, the competitiveness. Parents are ruling their kids a lot more than we would think. they come up with their social time, their evening time. No other time in history have so many children had to go home with an average of 30 pounds of books a day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of intimidating, just that. I'm like, can you imagine you leave work, a 9-to-5 kind of a job, and you go home with 30 pounds of work to do? Especially in this age of computers. But still,
yeah.
You know, an average of 1 to 3 hours, you would like to leave the office, but you still have more work, and your parents have lined you up for all the sporting events, if you're so lucky. And if you have the luxury of not having to do it, or the sorriness that you're not able to go into it, you're unable to just relax.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do feel sorry for our future kids. And to add to that, I don't know if you're aware, but to our listeners out there, the United States military just announced a military cut so severe, we're going pre-World War II.
Wow.
For the amount of soldiers we have. We're just above 500,000 soldiers, and we're thinking of getting it into the 450s. However, when I did my Google research, we were in the 300,000 soldiers pre-World War II. And there is no number coming out of the White House, just that we're going to pre-World War II. That would put us behind Brazil and other countries for the amount of soldiers we have. We're already behind Russia. We're behind China. Now we're going to be behind 10 other global military governments worldwide. How can we have a strength? I mean, at the end of the day, we're not even in the top 3. We're not going to be in the top 10.
Oh, no.
That's a little scary.
You think?
Yes. And that we're okay with this, apparently. It's not trending. And part of Women on the Edge is about trending issues. This is not trending. I'm hoping it'll start trending tomorrow. We might be ahead of the trend, and that's what I'm going to believe today. The United States government is sending out pink slips today to 100-some-odd thousand, hundreds of thousands of people.
You're kidding.
Active. And not only this, in the articles, there was an article that was leaked through the Pentagon that said 50,000 of them have already gone out, some who have not even finished their enlistment.
Wow.
Whoa. And they're going to still cut back. They promised not to give anybody a salary increase till 2015. We're basically, I don't know what's the right word, we have A-10 airplanes. We're no longer using them. Tucson, Arizona has one of our biggest air force bases. Air bases, let me just go that way, because I know that the Navy had stuff there, and so did the Army, but so an air base. And it's the third largest employer in Arizona. And they're cutting it to save a couple billion dollars. What's going to happen to Arizona?
Wow.
So it just makes me think, and you, and we have other women part of four that care a lot about the military personally, because we have people that have been in or currently in, and I myself have two people that are in, my son in particular in the Marines. He has no idea about this. I called him up. Oh. And I said, well, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm working. I go, did you hear about the cutback? He goes, what cutback? So, wow. This is going to be a surprise to many. But I'm most upset. I didn't even think much of Brazil's military. We're going to be behind Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's above us. China is above us. I tried looking for Iran to find out how many people they have enlisted, or Saudi Arabia. I was unable to. I get some estimates through Wiki, but that's it. I'd be really upset if we're behind them.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me.
So, to go back again about stress, they said we have several guys that have served for over 12 years and have been fighting and have done over 3 tours for the United States who are getting the pink slips. And they are head of household, sole income. And what's going to happen to them? They're going to go home and be told that their job is done. And not for being ineffective. It's not going to be that they've done anything wrong. They served us. Their families have been sacrificing. And now there's going to be a lot of worry for the military families over from now until 2015. And to know that it doesn't matter where you are, how high up you are, in the middle, they're guaranteeing they're going to be doing a swipe throughout the United States military. The Army seems to be the most impacted than the Navy. So
how is that going to affect the reserves? Did it say that?
Nope. This only came up this afternoon. The White House even said how many will truly be cut. The only thing they've said is that we're going to a pre-World War II. And this is what they said. We're going to go back. If you read the articles and stuff in the press releases, they say, well, we're going to make the size of the military like it was a couple decades ago. Decades. It's almost 100 years. I mean, it's closer to saying a century ago than it is to go and say decades. To me, what is decades? 1 decade, 2 decades, 3? Would you say 8?
I missed the question.
The question is, what would you think a couple decades back is? If we're going pre-World War II.
That's way more than a couple of decades.
That's what I thought, too.
It's way more than a couple of decades? A couple of decades? Who said
I could push 3.
No, more. I could, well, it was 1941. December 7th is World War II. Okay.
And we're going pre. So it's before that. We don't even know what their exact number before that is. And I'm just going, it would be closer to saying a century ago than it would be to say a couple decades ago.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly.
So, I have no idea. I mean, I'm just going through this and I'm thinking, we're going to be behind Japan. We're going to be behind South Korea, Turkey, Germany, France, United Kingdom, India, China, and Russia. For sure. And
wow.
So, I don't know how many times people could be called a superpower without having some strength of military. They said we're going to be relying on our Middle Eastern partners. And you can look up the article. You can Google the YouTube. We're going to be relying on our Middle Eastern partners. Do they mean Israel, Saudi Arabia, Russia? Who's our partners? It was cool.
I have no idea anymore.
So as we go forward, and we're talking about stress, the teens are having it. The adults are having it. Our senior citizens are having it. We're having people that are, you know, with the weather, jobs. The United States is really having a lot of issues. But worldwide we are. The Ukraine just went and ousted their president. It seems like it's a good thing so far. How the news has been portraying it, it's highly favorable because they basically had a revolution within 3 months and it's done and over with, to a degree. And they say that with quotes. The president apparently, if anybody's been following this, it's been pretty horrific watching some of the YouTubes where the citizens were protesting against their president
who wanted
to put a deal.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, the people rallied together as their president was trying to sign a deal more with Putin and the Russians. Putin, I guess, really felt he probably could sway the Ukrainians more because the majority of the oil that Russia puts out goes through the pipeline. And I believe the Ukraine has more gas lines, oil lines, than any other country in the world. Mm-hmm. So Russia has to use them. So it's very beneficial. And they had promised, you know, to continue this deal of sending the oil through the Ukraine, getting it over to, you know, the Mediterranean to get it into Europe. And they really need some extra money. They're hurting like other countries are too. And the Ukrainians wanted an European deal. They wanted the EU. That's it. No others. And when the president started to strong-arm them, send the police officers out, the citizens went to the streets and rallied. They had no weapons, and they had to start creating weapons. There wasn't a lot of guns. If you watch the videos, some of them, the more bloodly ones, the ones that ended up causing some deaths, the citizens had made homemade gas bombs out of, like, Coca-Cola glass bottles, beer bottles. They had rocks, and they used sticks. The police officers came and shot them.
Oh,
the
Lord.
People rose up, and they created quite a few gas bombs with these, you know, like Coca-Cola bottles with a rag in it, had some fire and started shooting it off. They won, and they ended up taking over Parliament. They took over the president's homes, and he fled. And as they went through the president's home, and you can watch the videos, I can't believe how peaceful it is. I mean, it might be just the videos that are being taken, but the people are going in, taking pictures. They seem to be respecting the property, but they're also appalled because as poor as they were, he had gone and spent so much money on gold faucets in the bathrooms. He had a gorgeous estate. He had a couple of estates. He even had a ship renovated to be just a restaurant for himself. So it's kind of nice to go and say, wow, look at all this money here in this poor country. So we do believe that he's been outed. As far as we know, we haven't heard from him. We just know he fled. But again, military. The stress of the government, and I think that right now our government is saying, let's get rid of the military. I think there's a happy balance between the two. How costly is it to be number 11 or 12 as a global military force?
That's not okay. For as large as we are, as large as our country is, that's not okay. That doesn't make me feel safe. I mean, we used to be number one.
To be behind Turkey? How does that make you feel?
Yeah, that's kind of alarming, actually.
How about behind India?
Yeah, that's
or France.
Really alarming. Okay. That's just crazy, especially with yeah, that's just crazy. Crazy, crazy. Did you see that thing I just posted on your wall about the new rodent?
Tell me more.
Oh, no, you got to read it first. I can't tell it on live. But I can't believe there's a rodent out there that will kill itself doing this. Go read. Our listeners are just going to have to wait patiently until you read it. And then I want you to Google it and see what if it's trending, because a rodent that will kill itself, commit suicide by this single act of, what is it, Becky? You see it?
I'm looking for, I'm going to Women on the Edge right now.
Yeah, it's there.
I don't see it, hon.
You're kidding. I just posted it. Hold on. Okay, so this
we have to push send.
Wait, I did. Here, I'm gonna post it here. I can't believe. Oh, that's not it. Okay, it's a rodent that'll kill itself because it's having sex.
Because of what?
You heard me. It's having sex. It's killing itself. I mean, sex. It's killing itself.
Another stress.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago. I just posted it on your Women on the Edge. There it is, right there. NBC News. Here, let me share it with you directly. It is a new rodent that will. What a way to go! A newly discovered species of mammal kills itself with intense sex. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, really, are you kidding me? You gotta see if it's trending because really,
it's a marsupial of some sort.
But it does look like
a mouse.
Who's watching it to kill? Who's paying that much attention? Okay, that's what I want to know. Okay.
Oh, and it's an itty bitty little thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just going at it.
And it won't stop. It becomes nonstop once it gets into it, until the body disintegrates.
It dies
of sex exhaustion.
That's just okay. That makes me laugh. I just have to laugh because that's trending right now. Okay, on NBC.
But it isn't gentle. That's what they say. Here's another thing. It's not gentle, but it is an absolute stallion.
Wow.
14 hours.
Wow. That's kind of funny. So that's trending right now.
Some might say it's noble. I kind of think it's disgusting, though. But
noble. That's kind of
funny. Typically, the guys hump themselves to death. Oh, my gosh.
That's just way too much. Way too much. But we're going into the last 9 minutes, and we are going to start opening up on Friday. We're going to have your guest, so you will need to connect with him.
I did want to say, on Friday, I want to bring up that the Son of Man is coming up.
The Son of Man?
The Son of Man is coming out, so for all those that
would like to
support a strong Christian movie,
exactly.
There hasn't been a lot of media commercial-wise, so I'm guessing they're going to have a big marketing one. So I just wanted to go and give it a plug because I haven't seen the movies. It is out there, so Son of Man comes out Friday, and, you know, I want you guys to hear us in the morning. And then that evening, go and look for a good movie for all of you guys for that Friday night. It would be a great stress reliever.
Cool.
But go on. Let's talk about Friday.
Yeah, we can talk to Matthew, and I'm going to play a quick 16-second spot, and so you will know exactly who we will have on our show.
This is very exciting. We've been waiting for this for some time.
Yeah.
Actually, we've been praying for this for some time.
So
we're looking forward to Matthew.
So we're going to play real quick his commercial that we played at the beginning, and we're going to play it now, and then I'll explain to you. So we'll be back in 16 seconds.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
I'm excited to introduce him to you, Becky, and I'm excited about the peace that he is going to fulfill when it comes to post-traumatic stress disorder and law enforcement. Higher Ascent is his calling. God pulled him away from Robbins Brothers, just like God pulled me away from Robbins Brothers. It's funny how things work out because neither one of us
are
the
blessed. Still like Robbins Brothers.
Oh, still love Robbins Brothers. The greatest thing is it's a safety net, so woohoo, we love it. But when you're called to do what God's telling you to do, it's kind of interesting. So he's taken a year off, and that year has come and gone. And this past week, we had lunch and haven't seen each other in a while. And voila, the answer to our questions about what program are we going to introduce to law enforcement to help them take a break to relieve post-traumatic stress disorder. And Matthew's put together an amazing program, as you know. And I would like for you to share what you read, with our audience and how it's going to pertain to your show, Brain.biz, and taking Matthew to a higher ascent.
Well, one thing I think is fantastic is that it doesn't go into like a therapy session. And what I liked about it is it took us out of ourselves, and he takes a group of people and puts them into a very scary situation if you're afraid of heights.
Like you.
And I can tell you, I have climbed mountains, and that this is where we're going. You are going to climb a mountain figuratively and mentally, spiritually. And he takes a group of people out, and they end up bonding together, climbing a mountain. And if anybody has ever done this, seen a movie on it, it's all about your partners. It's all about trust. It's all about overcoming a lot of laughs, many scrapes, some bruises. At the end of this, he has formulated something that nowhere else have I seen it. That you're going to end up having basically a meeting with God. And these men who have gone into the police force have taken on a mission. And sometimes you can get overwhelmed with what you're seeing day to day and getting back to your core, finding out what your purpose is, and overcoming the stresses that they're facing every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, with everything that you know about police officers, please chime in here. I want to go. Do I have to get a badge?
Well, the greatest thing is about Matthew is he has offered to take all of the ambassadors. So when we're out here in October, he's offered to take us for a quick test run of his Higher Ascent program. So I'm really excited about that. And so you are going to be able to go as an ambassador for Christ.
And this is something that people who've never thought of this, or if you have a fear to go over phobias, you can take total comfort. You end up having the security. You have peace given to you. By the time that you're all done with this entire experience, this is something that is life-changing, life-transforming. And just going through the daily activities of just preparing for this, it's a bonding moment that can actually get you closer to God. And it's at first, before you even get there, you're going to be praying. You're already going to hear a whole
bunch
of stories.
Exactly. Oh, God, please, yeah. Oh, dear God, don't let me fall. Dear God, don't let me fall. You have 2 minutes.
Well, I am looking forward to Friday. I can't wait for everybody to come back in and listen to us. We're going to be live here from Georgia. It's going to be cold again, and Maria is going to be from the lovely Southern California, where it's going to be lovely as always. And we're going to be bringing in Matthew. I don't even want you to say anything. I just like, we're going to have it lovely here soon.
I was talking to Becky from Washington earlier, and she just got like a foot of snow, and I don't know how you guys. So 90 seconds, close us out.
90 seconds. Well, I want everybody to know, start focusing on peace of mind. We're going to be bringing Matthew in. He's going to be explaining some of the higher ascent. Then he's going to be bringing peace of mind to us, and we're going to hear about what he's going forward doing, his mission, and the purpose of him coming into Women on the Edge, because talk about an edge. We'll be on the top of the mountain by the time we're done with this. He's going to show us, and I am extremely excited about introducing him, and I look forward to having everybody here. We're going to be here early in the morning on Friday, 11 o'clock your time, right?
No, 10 o'clock Maria? Friday time.
10 o'clock, okay.
Yeah, so
I keep confused now. I'm out here. But we're going to see you guys.
We'll see you.
We love
on
you guys.
Friday.
Peace of mind. Keep to the narrow road. And we're going to be back.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.